Men, we need to be aware that God has ordained our spouses to help us. Sometimes we are, and I've been certainly specifically prideful that we don't allow them to support us and help us. That we try to do everything ourselves rather than allowing our wives to be our partners in that sense to support and help us in the context of a right relationship.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we continue our detour from our series in the book of Colossians to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and there is much to learn.
Yes, Dave, indeed, there is much to learn. Now, specifically, this passage is about the husband's role in the marriage. But as we're going to see, that role is based on a right understanding of how God sees the wife. Well, this is so important for husbands and wives. So turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
So obvious, just like someone who claims to be a believer and says, I love the body of Christ and never is around church. How can that be? Same thing. We are to dwell with our wives. With this in mind, we're to be dwelling with. And there's also commentators, and I agree that this takes on the connotation also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, that sexual connotation. Also, we are to be with our wives, as we will see. We are to live together. There is to be a union and a unity. You can read that on your own time. So first of all, we have the basic command that's obvious. Husbands, be dwelling with your wives. Now, there's going to be qualifications with that. We're to be dwelling, but there's going to be qualifications. Now, certainly sometimes there are husbands dwelling in a household, living there, but they really don't live there at all, right? They got two separate lives going on. They're just doing their own thing. They're not dwelling with their wives. They're dwelling in the same house separately, in a sense. This is to be dwelling together. There's a union within the situation here, okay? So with that in mind, how and what manner are husbands to be dwelling or living? Now, we're going to see these principles apply to us in every area of our lives, no matter if you're a husband, wife, child, whatever it is. Verse 7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. First of all, he says, likewise. How am I to dwell? Likewise. Likewise. In the same way we saw in verse 1, you wives be submissive. Same exact Greek word. In the same way as wives are to rely on the Lord and obey his word, depending on him, in the same way as Christ did, our perfect example, didn't revile and turn, didn't sin, didn't utter threats, in the same way, husbands are to do the same thing. And the implication is the submission is not to an earthly master, but to your master in heaven, husbands. Dwell and do this in the same way as Christ. Well, how did Christ do it? Let's take a look back at chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Notice he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there when you sin, this is verse 20, and are treated harshly, are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. And then here's the example that we are to likewise follow. For you have been called for this purpose, suffering unjust suffering, obviously for doing what is right. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, or the tracing pattern, we saw that, for you to follow in his steps. Well, what's the pattern we follow? And it happens with wives with their husbands and husbands with their wives, the same pattern, likewise. He says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. That's what Christ did. He came to do God's will, and he entrusted himself to the Father, and he kept doing that. He didn't sin in response. And it says here the result, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, wives. Chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, likewise, in the same way. In the same way. You can't do this if you don't know Christ. You can't do this if you are not relying on him completely. Apart from him, you can do nothing. We can do nothing. It's in the context of a real relationship with Jesus Christ that we are to be doing these things. We are to be entrusting ourselves. And here we have husbands. Husbands, likewise, in the same way, are to submit to God and obey him and trust him no matter what it looks like, no matter what the outcome. You know, so often I find husbands shirking their responsibilities in Christ because they are worried about how their wives will respond. And they're worried about the temporary realities. Do the right thing, which is the best thing for your wife, and let God take care of the consequences. He is the one who judges righteously. Do the right thing, men, no matter what. Do it, as we'll see, in the right context, too, in a loving context. You don't want to be shrinking back for the fear of man or the fear of woman in that sense. And the same thing also for women with their husbands. Obey the Lord. Don't fear. You don't want to be frightened by any fear. So in the same way, just as Christ entrusted himself by doing what is right, you are to trust Jesus and submit your heart with the right attitude and dwell with your wives, as we will see in a second, according to biblical knowledge. Let's take a look at that now, back in chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands likewise live or dwell with. The term is dwell, and it adds in this little portion in the beginning of it. Dwell with your wives. Then notice this, in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Dwell with, and we have this modified, this is how you dwell with, this is how you live with your wife. This is how I live with my wife, how I'm supposed to. This is how we are to live day in and day out with our wives. He says, first of all, in an understanding way. Now, I think this translation might lead us to maybe misunderstand the intent of Peter. Even the NIV says, be considerate. I think that's possibly leads to maybe misunderstanding the intent here. I think there's been a lot of interpretations that may not really align with the intent of what Peter says here. You could literally translate it this way. Be living with your wife, that's implied, according to gnosis, according to kata gnosis, according to knowledge. That's what it says. Be dwelling according to knowledge. According to knowledge. And when we think of knowledge, what do we think of? You know, knowledge is the possession of information or what is known. It's knowing something, right? Dwell with your wife knowing according to what you know. And we'll see what that means in a second. You know, as I looked at different passages and sermons relating to this and people's opinions, you know, what most people say this relates to is understand your wife's emotional frame. Well, that's what they say. Most of us say that. Learn everything you can about her personality and dwell with her according to that. Now, there's nothing wrong with understanding your wife and knowing her. That's very important. We need to love our wives. But is that what this passage is saying? Is that the knowledge that is being spoken of here? I don't believe the knowledge is anything that we observe ourselves. I believe it's from God. I don't believe we dwell with our wives according to our own understanding, whether it's right or wrong. We are not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we're to acknowledge him and our paths are straight. So what is this knowledge? You're saying, well, I thought it was that. Well, let's see what it is. Let's see what this knowledge is in light of God's word that we are to continually dwell with. What is it? Well, first of all, we know that there is man's wisdom and God's wisdom. There is man's knowledge and God's knowledge. In Christ, Colossians 2, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it's in God's word alone where we find knowledge that comes from God. You see? And we need to watch out that we don't make choices to dwell according to our own understanding or what man says. We need to isolate it to what God says. And I believe the passage will show that in a minute. You see, indeed, Paul warned Timothy in the last verses of his first letter to him to guard what was entrusted to his care, the word, and to turn away from that which is falsely called knowledge. There are those who believe they have knowledge, and it's human knowledge, but it's false. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. That's the word of God, Timothy. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. So, first of all, I don't believe the knowledge that we dwell with our wives is our knowledge. I don't use my understanding to figure out how to dwell with my wife. I believe it has to come from God's understanding in how we dwell with our wives. And where do I get that? Look at how this passage is modified. We see here, he says, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way or according to knowledge. And then notice these two phrases, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. These two phrases modify this according to knowledge. And you could translate them very specifically, dwell with, as to a weaker vessel, and then literally, to the feminine. And I'll explain this in a minute. These phrases, you're to dwell according to understanding, as to, and here's some understanding, a weaker vessel, and here's some understanding, to, as we'll see, the feminine. What do I mean by that? What's translated as with a weaker vessel simply speaks of the differences, physically speaking, between men and women. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. Our world wants to say this isn't true, but men and women are different. We are different. We are different, physically speaking. And God made it that way for a purpose, as we'll see. And the term vessel speaks of a container. That's where we get, like if you go later on and through the way the words bring about, you see that we get our word vase that way, obviously. It's something that holds something. My body is my vessel. Your body is your vessel. And he's saying that women have a weaker vessel. That's simply what he's saying. They're different. Now we're going to see that that doesn't demean a woman at all in a moment. And then secondly, it says, you could literally translate, since she is a woman, this is an interesting word, it's only used here, this means literally to the feminine. This term feminine speaks of that which belongs to women. The characteristics that belong to women. The knowledge that we are dwelling with our wives according to, first and foremost, is that she is a woman. And women are different, right? We're going to see that. Now, our society has so obscured genders these days through its sinfulness, we're unwilling to acknowledge what these characteristics are. But the reality is God did make us male and female. He made us in his image, male and female, as we see in Genesis chapter 1. So then, and we're going to expand on this, men, we are to dwell with our wives according to biblical knowledge. And I struggled over this because I want to learn. I want to be a godly husband. I want to know what he's saying. Lord, what are you saying here so that I can obey it? And I hope you're saying the same thing, man. What are you saying here? I want to know exactly what you mean so that I can obey it, Lord God. And I struggled over, what does this mean in this sense? What does it mean as to weaker vessel to the feminine? What does that mean? Well, as I studied, I think we see very clearly that God reveals in his word that women are different than men. And God has given us biblical knowledge concerning the woman and their role. He has given us that knowledge that we need to dwell according to. Not according to our own understanding, what I think we should do, but what God says in his word. You see, first of all, we see in 1 Corinthians 11, turn there for a second, 1 Corinthians 11. There are truths that the world hates. And if you're in your sin, you hate it too because you don't want to submit. But if you see it rightly, you'll see God's grace and his glory in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. This is biblical knowledge that we live according to. And we need to understand it. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. Pretty simple statement. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Oh, I said it. No, God said it, actually. And it's good when we understand what God has truly ordained us to be. You see here? He says here right away, biblical knowledge, woman was created for man. Now that's not going to say, we're going to see in a minute, that does not make her inferior at all. You better not think that, because your prayers are going to be blocked, because she's a daughter of the king. We are joint heirs, fellow heirs. We better think of this rightly. But God has made differing roles, and we need to live according to those, as we will say. You know, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, and I think we're going to see biblical knowledge concerning wives. Biblical knowledge concerning women that we need to live according to. I can think of all this other stuff. I can say this is what I need to live according to, but I don't know if that's true or not. I know this is true. I know this is true. And therefore, I need to live according to it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Book of Genesis, after God created everything, it is good, it is good, it is good. Chapter 1, an overview of creation. And then after you created man and woman, it's very good. Then chapter 2, we have a picture of what's going on in the crown of creation, just the creation of man and woman. And we see in the middle of that, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. Very interesting statement, because there's no sin yet. It's not good. That means something is lacking. Something is lacking. And from that, we get a good understanding of how men and women function together in the marriage relationship. We need to understand this, men, or we will not be able to obey this. So he says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him." So we have here, essentially, that man is incomplete in this relationship. Now you say, wait a second, I'm single and I'm incomplete then. Well, no, that's not true. The reality is God has ordained that some are to be married. That is primarily his plan, we see. But he has those who are single, have a gift of singles. Or he has those, or maybe you're not married yet, and you don't know, no matter how young or old you are, you still might get married. So we need to understand these truths in this. God's plan and his timing are not our timing. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So here we see, first of all, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable. First of all, we see here that one purpose for marriage is companionship. Live according to knowledge. She's your companion. If you don't live according to knowledge, you're going to dishonor her and God, right? It's not good. You know, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 17, speaking of the adulterous woman, she leaves the companion of her youth. In Malachi chapter 2, 14, this is speaking of the treachery of Israel, leaving the companion of her covenant. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 19, that the general sense of companionship, not in marriage, but in a general sense. Take a look at that. Ecclesiastes, right after Lamentations. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. And as you're looking there, primarily the marriage relationship was for companionship. And if you're single and you're lonely, let the Lord be your companion. And also you have more time to have companionship within the body of Christ, not on a marriage level, but on a fellowship level, as we'll see. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is no one to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone?" Just a principle. Companionship. Companionship. Live with them according to knowledge. We are to dwell with the understanding she is our companion. And guess what? We can fail on that, can't we? We can treat them like baggage. We could treat them like an extra. We could treat them horribly, I'm talking about. We should treat them and love them and recognize the first purpose here is she's a companion. Live with them according to knowledge. You shouldn't be living separate lives. You should be sharing everything together. And obviously you're connected. We'll see. So we see here, it is not good for us to be alone, and God primarily shares that it's for companionship. But there's more knowledge that God gives us back in Genesis. Look back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Not only is she your companion, we'll see that she is your helper. Verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Very interesting. Now, as I share this, some women might be becoming uncomfortable. Am I an afterthought? Am I a slave now? Is this what this means? That's not what it means at all. This term helper is a very interesting term, helper. It's azer, it means to help. And it is often spoken of the Lord himself. The Lord is our helper. What can man do to us? The Lord is the one who helps. He is my help, my strength and shield. So the primary role of the woman that we need to understand as men is she is there to help us. To help us. That means we need help, men. Right? That means we need help. Absolutely. We have deficiencies that our wives help us with. There's a union. There's bringing together in this context. It speaks of support. And again, as I shared, it often speaks of divine help. Psalm 20, verse 2. May he send you help. That's our word from the sanctuary. May he support you. The idea we see in parallel, support. Help and support. We need to understand that is part of the role of our wives. We need to dwell with them, understanding this is what God has ordained. According to wisdom, we dwell with them. And there are so many passages I could read you concerning God being our helper. Some other time we can look at those. But specifically here, there is no way this is demeaning in any way. Otherwise, you're saying God being a helper is demeaning. It's the role, as we'll see, not the person, but the role right now. Men, we need to be aware that God has ordained our spouses to help us. Sometimes we are, and I've been certainly specifically prideful that we don't allow them to support us and help us. That we try to do everything ourselves rather than allowing our wives to be our partners in that sense to support and help us in the context of a right relationship, as we saw earlier in chapter 3. We need to live according to wisdom. And for you who are single, just because you're not married doesn't mean God might not still use you to help people. Romans chapter 16 speaks of Phoebe. She was a deaconess, but she was a helper of many. A helper of many. So first of all, we live according to knowledge. And notice what the Lord says in his word, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. And notice he says, suitable for him. The term suitable could be translated according to the opposite of him. You go, that's marriage, right? I'm going to give you someone who's completely opposite. And that's not exactly what it's saying. But the reality is, according to the opposite. It speaks of a counterpart. A counterpart. The parts work together, but they're part of you that works together. We'll see when you're one flesh. We'll see what that is. And obviously, God took wife out of the man, as we'll see in a minute. It is a divine helper, suitable. It's just what you need. You've got to understand that. If you don't understand that, you're going to be in trouble. If you're dwelling with your wife according to your own wisdom, you're going to be in trouble. We'll see. Your prayers are blocked.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give us some guidelines for applying what we've learned today.
Well, as we've seen throughout this study, we need to depend upon the person of Christ. Just as Christ depended on the Father when he came in human flesh to do the Father's will, to die for our sins, we too are to depend upon the Lord. We're to abide in Christ. You see, there's no way for us to live with our wives in an understanding way or according to knowledge apart from abiding in Jesus Christ and then allowing his truth to permeate our hearts so that we would live the way the Lord wants us to live with our wives. Well, we're not done with this message yet, so make plans to join us tomorrow as we conclude our look in 1 Peter chapter 3.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.